Hallelujah.
Shekinah unending. When you think about that, when you're living in the outer court, that's natural light. Everybody lives there. When you go into the holy place, that's man-made light. It's where the church is, but it's man-made light. But when you get into that holy of holies, oh, that's Shekinah glory. Praise be to God. I won't be singing any songs. Psalms 1, please. Psalms 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. Greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's good to be come gather around the Word of God. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice we got three categories there. Not listening to the counsel, the leadership, the guidance of the ungodly. Not doing what the sinners do, standing in the way of the sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. You could not be going the way of the ungodly or not be sitting there, but sitting around picking what everybody else is doing, and you're still in verse 1, right where you're not supposed to be. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, many rivers of one water, many gifts, one spirit. By the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Sitting in that place. Got a phone call from Jeff, and he has ministered in Auckland and Christchurch and Gisborne in New Zealand. And he said, Dad, I got to be honest. He said, I wasn't ready to make the trip. He said, I thought I was, but he said, I wasn't. And he said, physically, he said, I couldn't take it. He said, it took me 3 days just to really get functioning after I got there. And the third day was the service. And he said, I stood in the pulpit, and he says, for between 15 and 20 minutes, he said, I thought I was going to pass out any minute. He says, but I said, God, you sent me here. I'm here to minister your word. So he said, I learned a tremendous lesson. He said, in spite of my weakness, God can do great things. Because he said, the service was just outstanding. And he says, the people just were blessed, blessed, blessed. He says, but for me, you know, he said, I was so weak, so weak. But then after that, he said the strength started coming back after the third day and the rest of the trip was fine. He did okay. And then he was in, that was, so Auckland, he was weak there. So he would have been weak through those services. Christchurch, the first service there, he was still a little bit weak. But then Gisborne, he was okay. And then right now he's in Kailua. That's not New Zealand, that's Hawaii. And he'll be leaving there tomorrow and going to Portland, flying into Portland, and then he'll be ministering with Brother Cobb this next week in Salem. And then on December 1st, he'll return home. And then on December 6th, which is the first Sunday in December, we will be having communion. And so we'll want you to come prepared to stay for a second service. And we'd like to have a fellowship dinner over at that hall on Robb Avenue between services, between the morning service and the afternoon service. So you sisters gear up to bring something first Sunday in December. That's December 6th. So bring something so we can have a meal over there. Everybody will fellowship together. And then we'll that'll be there. Then Tuesday, this Tuesday, I leave. I'm going out to Tucson. I have a Thanksgiving weekend convention that I'm ministering for the young people in Brother Isaac Noriega's church, Tabernaculo Emmanuel. Well, that's what he used to call it. He now calls it, it's gone from me. It'll come to me in a minute. It turned out that the piece of land that they bought was an old ranch, and the ranch had a beautiful name, so they just changed the new sanctuary name to the Golden Dawn Tabernacle. And So I'll be with them. We're starting meetings on Thursday night and go on through Sunday. And then Monday, I want to go up into Cimino Canyon in Tucson and take some video shots and bring them back home. A lot of you people have never seen Cimino Canyon, so I thought I'd go up and take some shots of that and bring them back, let you see what Cimino Canyon looks like. And then Tuesday, I go up to Phoenix, and I'm with Brother Ron Peterson Tuesday and Wednesday in Phoenix, and then Thursday, I'll fly home. But Jeff arrives home during that time. So Brother John LaFontaine will be here with you on Wednesday and Sunday, this coming Wednesday and this coming Sunday, Brother John will be with you. Now, many of you were not here with us on Wednesday, nor the previous, so because we've been going in a direction and talking about building a bunch of young people that are radical but not fanatical, and not trying to make our young people odd. And so I've been telling the church, I want you older people to listen in, and whatever applies to you, apply it to yourself too. Because no matter what, where we are, no matter where we are in our growth in the Lord, there is some area of us that's not yet mature. Your children mature in strengths in their life. One can take responsibility to carry out the trash, but maybe cannot keep the bedroom clean. And these kind of things. And we all grow that same in the same way in the Lord. Some people, boy, they can pray and get a hold of God, but they just can't remember to pay their tithes. So these, you've just got areas where we have a hard time maturing. And so I'm trying to touch on the things to help the young people. As I said Wednesday night, every house has to be built on a foundation and built by a blueprint. And we found from the scripture that if a man keeps the commandments of the Lord, he said he is likened unto a man who builds his house on a rock. And so we found that he lays the foundation, but the foundation is on rock. We talk about a big, big building, digging down to bedrock and laying the foundation on rock. Well, that rock, he said, the rock, he says, is if you keep my commandments, then you've got your foundation on the rock. And then the foundation itself is the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, scripture says. And then we start building the house of God on top of that. But yet to build without a blueprint is to have chaos. And of course, our building blueprint is the Word of God. And so God has told us how to construct our lives. In one of the books I was reading on for kind of aiming at young people, And because I was kind of trying to get a few ideas for when I go out for this weekend out there. And it said, now, if you've got a home group, they said, here's the way to demonstrate proper building structure. They says, get several kids out there, and it says, and put down four of them on their hands and knees, three of them on top of that, two of them on top of that, one on top of that. He says, rest assured, the ones on the second and third layer are going to look how strong is that guy on the bottom. They wouldn't want some five-year-old in the bottom row. Isn't that right? Why? Because they want to see this strong foundation before this whole thing is going to topple. So here we're trying to build now and build the young people and us adults too. God has no such thing as fathers and granddaddies. God doesn't have that. God only has children. We may hold another level in this life, but to God, we're just all children. And when we think of his maturity compared to our immaturity, we're all children. Gray hair, shrinking bodies, makes no difference to us as still children because he's developing something on the inside. And so we found then in the scripture that we read that as we look at these things of what the man that's planted, not like Brother Rand says, not stuck out, but planted, put there with purpose, that he's set by these rivers of water. One water, one Holy Spirit, many rivers. So we were talking Wednesday about gifts, and we were not talking about the gifts of Corinthians 12, the prophecies, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge, and so on. We weren't talking about that because those gifts, contrary to normal Pentecostal belief, those gifts are to be resident in the body, not the person, the body. But then a person normally learns how to submit to that, and they become adept in an area. And then finally, as I went on a little further in trying to find out what did Brother Branham say about this, he said, do you know what a gift really is? He says, those gifts, he says, you have the ability to believe the word on it. He said, a man that has a gift of healing, he said, he just has the ability to believe what God said about divine healing. So he said he has a gift of healing because to him the word is quickened. Are you with me? So then it becomes quite simple. And so then now here we sit as a body of believers. We're accepted into the local body as a believer by water baptism. That's local body. But into God's body, you're introduced into that by one spirit. We are all baptized into one body. And so then, but then in that body, that spirit baptized body, is resident those gifts. Now I'm gonna take you in a direction and then turn the direction. So don't anchor on what I'm saying totally right now, because I'm taking you somewhere, but I want to take you on somewhere else too. So then in the body are those gifts. And then they're in that spirit, that body into which we've been baptized. And it's just like when I was used to work with Sears Roebuck, one of the departments I managed for a few years was the jewelry department. And in the jewelry department, we sold diamonds. And we found out that the four C's of proper diamonds were cut, color, clarity, and carat weight. And so we got the four C's of a good diamond that you look for: cut, color, clarity, and carat weight. That determines the value. And then so, but we found then that the cut, I want to talk about the cut just a moment. The cut of a diamond that with a flat table on the top and then these angles coming down, facets they're called, on the side. The facet has to be cut that any light that enters in through the table, the flat part on the top, it enters in, it strikes one of those sides and refracts back out the top. It has to come out either the top or one of the refractions on the top, and that's what gives it sparkle. You move it, and the light is bouncing off of those lower facets that you don't see and coming back up the top, and that gives it dazzle. But if it's improperly cut, it doesn't come back out the top. It goes out the side somewhere, and so you lose a lot of the dazzle. It's still a diamond. It's still a diamond. It's still hard. It is a genuine diamond, but it's improperly cut, so the value is not there. Why? Because it won't refract, won't refract back the light at the proper place. Are you staying with me now? Okay, now, the light of the world, of course, the light is God Himself. And each of these little refractions that come back out of the light represent gifts of God. That we can recognize Christ in the individual by this little refraction. He's not the whole light, but we see a measure of Christ by this little sparkle here and this little sparkle there. Are you staying with me? So that God is giving us little touches of Himself. He's all of it. As the old saying goes, He's the whole ocean. He's without measure. That Spirit, that God. But yet here we are, we're like the spoonful, old illustrations, but they work good. We're like the spoonful of ocean water. If I were to take the whole ocean and analyze it, I'd find certain ingredients. If I take a teaspoonful of the same ocean water and analyze it, I've got the same ingredients. The difference is quantity. So He was the Spirit without measure. And then each of us, little licks of fire, little tongues of fire, we have our measure. That the great Holy Spirit, the great pillar of fire of the Old Testament, broke Himself up into tongues of fire to disperse measures of the Holy Spirit into the individual. Are you staying with me so far? All right? And so then when, and this is sadly enough yet to come, when the nature of humanity can die, the nature of people can be overcome, so that there are no more divisions in this body of Christ, it will pull these licks of fire together and we will have the fullness of the Godhead bodily on earth again in the form of the bride of Christ. But based on history and based on Scripture, what sadly enough it takes usually to bring that body together is some kind of squeeze from the outside. We just seem to have a tendency to pick and talk and keep division among us until we all have a common enemy that's threatening from the outside. Then we're willing to drop these little human things. It's such a shame. And it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. But we have a tendency to be that way. So, but in the meantime, now God is building. So I want to talk about this building process and this body that He is building, because we're by one Spirit, we're all baptized into this body. And every member of this body, this fellow standing in the pulpit, you people sitting in the pew, every member of your body has a function, unless you've got some kind of unusual growth on you, which is an abnormality. Otherwise, every part of you has a function. So therefore, if that's the natural body, then the spiritual body must be the same. Every member has a function. And within this body then are certain gifts. And not talking about the 9 spiritual gifts of Corinthians 12 now. We're going a little different direction. Are these gifts that God places in a person to again refract a little light of Himself in the body through that person. And so that's what we were wanting to talk about, is to get each person to kind of analyze, could it be that one of these gifts is mine? Which one am I? Is this inherent in me? And the reason I'm stressing that you have to look at it so closely, if I get through all the quotes that I've got this morning, you'll hear this. Brother Branham speaking of his own gift. He was standing in the pulpit, and he says, now I'm waiting for His presence to come. And he says, now what I do, he says, it just comes natural to me. He said, because I was born this way. But he said, like a singer that is really a gifted singer, not a trained only singer, but a gifted singer, he said, their voice just does certain things because they're gifted that way. He says, but the one thing they have to do before they can sing right, they have to catch the pitch so that everybody's in harmony. And he says, and what I have to catch is His anointing. He says, but when I do it, he said, to me, it's as natural as a gifted singer. He said, because I was born this way. And he says, and so is it with every gift in the body of Christ. To you, it's just so natural. And so many times you'll slide through life with this gift in your life that is actually given not for you, but for us, the rest of the body. I titled this tape, I told the girls in the tape room, I didn't tell them why I titled it. I says, what gift have you for me? I think was the way I worded it, something like that. What gift have you for me? And this is not what I want you to ask God. I'm asking you. What gift have you for me? Because I'm part of the body. And I'd like to see your gift in operation. We need each other, right? So then trying to find this place. Now let's start now with Romans 12. This is where we started on Wednesday night. And in starting in Romans 12, I'm not going to go into all the details. We went into considerable detail on Wednesday night pertaining to Romans, but we won't do that today. I'll skip the first 2 verses, otherwise I'll get into my metamorphosis again in verse 2. We won't do that. Starting at verse 3. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, let's pause a moment. Let's just say that I have a gift of divine healing. And so I find, now knowing what that means is, the word on healing has been quickened to me. And I can move in that area of the word with great confidence because it's been quickened to me. But if I think more highly of myself than I ought to, I will have a tendency to exalt myself and think that I'm something super duper because healing takes place through me and it doesn't take place through all of you. So therefore, and I begin to think more highly of myself when all it is, every man has the measure of faith. That happens to be the reflection that would be in this person, but every other person has some reflection of Christ. So we don't want to think big of self because of this power or that anointing or that gift, none, that has nothing to do with it. If we're in that body, everybody's equal. Everybody's necessary. As the prophet said in the church age book, he said, the problem began, he says, when they took all, he called it solemnity, out of the audience and put it all in the pulpit. He said, that's not it. He said, the gifts are all through the body. This happens to be one gift ministering up here, but there are many other gifts that are too often too quiet. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, colon, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Catch that. Not just members of Christ, but members one of another. Why? Because we're all in the same body. So we're linked by the same blood system, nerve system, controlled by the same head. We're one. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now pause right there. Gifts differing according to grace. What did you do to merit grace? If you did anything, then it's not grace. Grace is God's just unmerited. He did it. So therefore, back to verse, think not very highly of yourself if you can do this, because the same grace that gave it to you could give it to somebody else. See? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, prophecy is to speak under inspiration. It can sometimes be to foretell or foretell, but not always. It could be to speak under inspiration. Another spirit than your human spirit has taken over and is speaking. And of course, that's why the gift of prophecy has to be judged, because we want to be sure what spirit is speaking. Verse 7. Or ministry. This is not fivefold ministry, verse 7. This is serving. It's a gift. Some people, you'll notice sometimes we have a gathering at a public hall or place, and there's just some people that have got the knack. They can get those sisters together and get every one of them dishing out the food just right. Just some have the knack to pull that thing together. It's one of these. They're just gifted that way. Everybody else has a tendency to stand back, but one or two will come up and get the show on the road. And of course, it's not only that. There's all kinds of serving to be done in the body. Or ministry, serving, let us wait on our ministry, serving. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. We went into this Wednesday, but exhorting here, we have a tendency to think somebody gets up here and says, you better shape up or you're going to ship out and all. No, exhorting is to encourage. Look ahead. Look what's going down there. Press on. Press the mark. Exhorting is to encourage somebody to lift up out of the valley they're in and move forward. Where, as we brought out Wednesday, the difference between exhortation and comfort is exhortation causes you to look to the goal to which you're pressing. Whereas comforting reaches back to some experience. Oh, poor you that you went through that. And I comfort you over something from the past. But this, then that's an ability too. But this is exhorting, causing you to press the mark. Let him do it with, excuse me, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Don't sound the trumpet. He that rules, leads, administrates, let him do it with diligence, earnestness, zeal. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So all of these are something that he's listing gifts right here, just gifts. Somebody has to be gifted to be able to prophesy or serve or teach or exhort or to give or lead or show mercy. It's a little measure of God. And the one thing you don't ever want to do is to look at that fellow's gift and say, man, I wish that was in me. That's what I'd like. No, just say, God, what is in me? Because you will be natured for your gift. Did you catch that?
God will put you through a school of life, plus the genes and chromosomes that come together to make you, to have you natured in a certain way for your gift. So that therefore the two will go hand in hand. It would be very difficult to have somebody extremely mild-natured. Extremely mild-natured, almost embarrassed to get before the people. And then turn around and give that man a gift to rebuke or reprove or correct. Going to use that one instead. My battery going down or what's the problem? Don't know. All right. So we got our gifts there. Now let's take a look now at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Now these are the gifts that I talked about that are resident in the body. They may operate through one person in one meeting and another person in another meeting, but yet there has a tendency, not always, but there has tendencies that become people become a little bit specialized, one, because of wrong teaching, and two, because they do have the ability to believe for this. And so it causes a certain manifestation because they can believe for it. They can relax in this atmosphere. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts. Now, catch the point now so you'll know where I'm going. I'm not trying to teach on gifts per se. I'm trying to go over the subjects of gifts to give you an idea how they're in the body and how they operate so that you can find your niche. You understand my purpose. It's not to teach gifts, and you'll find as I get a little bit further along especially what I mean by that. Verse 4 again. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, many rivers, one water. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. They operate differently. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So therefore, now here's all these gifts, different administrations, different operations, but the one thing they have in common is for the profit of the body of Christ. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. And then it goes on about one body, one member thinking they're greater than the other, I don't need you principle. But we're catching now a picture that by one Spirit we're all baptized into this body, and all this body, every member of this body has a function, and their functions according to grace. It may function a little, it may function a lot, according to the measure of grace. But it says, whatever that is, wait on it. Use it. What will you have me do, Lord? Principle. So that it isn't a thing that, well, this is in my life, but you do nothing with it. That's not the concept. The concept is once you discover it, then now, Lord, how can I put it to use to cause the body to be benefited by what I'm finding? Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Obviously the answer is no. Everybody doesn't do these things, but they're resident in the body. They're in the body. And so the body will produce these things. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, I want to keep emphasizing, I'm not trying to promote these gifts per se. What I'm trying to promote is the attitude. And it says, covet earnestly these gifts. So God, cause me to function. Whatever it is you've got in me, Lord, let me know what it is. Cause me to function in my place in the body. Bring me to that place. You'll recall also that in the body of Jesus Christ was foreshadowed by the temple that Solomon built. And in the temple that Solomon built, it says, down at the rock quarry, everybody was working by a blueprint. And they were cutting and chiseling and hammering and sawing on stone because each stone was predetermined to be a certain size. And at the rock quarry was all the noise, all the hammering, all the chiseling. But they said when they brought it up to the temple site, there was not the sound of a hammer or the buzz of a saw. The rock was quietly slipped into place. So if you're still going through all kinds of turmoil in your life, don't worry, you're still down in the rock quarry, but you're stone. That's all right, you're a stone. And so God is still shaping you, but one day he'll just quietly slip you into your place. And first thing you know, the people are looking to you for this, or you feel you're aware of your function is this. Why? Because he slid you into place. Today, Joshua, I'll magnify you in the eyes of all Israel. He was there with Moses all the time, but it wasn't his time to be slid into place. But now my servant Moses is dead, Joshua, today. And so therefore he slid a new stone into place. So if you're not finding your functioning, then there's a little more chiseling yet to do, and we'll get to what he's chiseling on in just a moment. 1 Corinthians. Let's skip. I'm going to come back to Corinthians. Let's go now to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Let me pause right there. I'll use Brother Branham's illustration again so that I'll keep using the same one all the time. He said, in the body of Christ, he said, it's like this. He says, we're all in a room, and suddenly all the doors are locked. You can't go out. Nothing can come in. And now it's told you can have just as much of Christ as you've got coins in your pocket. And he says, so therefore, some have got a penny's worth. Some have got a quarter's worth. Some may even have a silver dollar's worth. He says, but don't let the silver dollar look down on the 50-cent piece. He said, it's all a purchase of Christ. And the grace is, the man with the silver dollar, with all the doors suddenly closed, the grace is that at that moment he happened to have a silver dollar in his pocket. He could have had only a penny. And so it was grace. He just happened to be caught with the right amount of change in his pocket. You with me? So it's grace. So that's the way the body of Christ is. It's grace. It's if you go, I went back when I was in Pentecost, I used to hear that I fasted 40 days and 40 nights and I called on God and I wanted this and I wanted that and God gave me this gift of so-and-so. And almost always when they pull it out of God, they're a stuff shirt with it. They exalt themselves with it. You can pry those things out of God, but they'll come automatically. They'll come automatically if you just keep moving on in God. He adds these things along the way. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Ascending up on high, led captivity captive. That's when he emptied out paradise and took them up to what we'll call the heavenly Jerusalem and led them up there at the ascension after his resurrection. And now verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, notice verse 8 again. When he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men, once the Holy Ghost in Jesus had ascended and Jesus was now sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, could now come back down. Not a second person of the Godhead, same Spirit. The very same spirit that was in Jesus Christ now comes back down to indwell another body, the body of believers. That's why it's the body of Christ. You don't hear it called the body of the Holy Ghost. You with me? We have a different title there, that's true. But it's the same spirit that was in Jesus, that life, eternal life comes back down to indwell a new body. And by one spirit, we're baptized into that body. And in that body is gifts. And so that now these gifts, verse 11, these are predestinated gifts. These are predestinated gifts. We go back into the Old Testament and we found that Jeremiah was chosen to be a prophet when he was yet in his mother's womb. I formed thee and I sanctified thee and I sent you out to be a prophet to the nations. So therefore, these ministry gifts, they're in a person from birth. They're there. And then there comes a place where that they move into their position in Christ, and here comes a quickening then at some point, a quickening on this ministry gift. But now what is it? It's a deposit, a measure of Christ. It's a reflection of Christ. So he gave some apostles these predestinated gifts. Now the purpose of these, verse 12, for the perfecting, full equipping, not sinless perfection. Sinlessness is taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is for the full equipping, total furnishing of the saints for the work of the ministry. Notice there is apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, but there's only one ministry. It's the ministry of Christ. It's Christ working in his body. For the edifying of the body of Christ. What were the gifts for? Edifying. What's the fivefold ministry for? Edifying. If we were to come to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and every time you went home, you were just beat down and torn up. That's not the edifying of the body of Christ. See, some other spirit has crept in there. And the fivefold ministry will last, verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's this age. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's what we're moving into in this age, and it could not happen until the opening of the seven seals. Christ had been bound by creeds and dogmas. Christ can only move in measure to the word the people can receive. And creeds and dogmas and false doctrines had crept into the church until Christ was bound. He could not move in full measure. But now we're coming to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? It's harvest time. The seed that went into the ground must reproduce itself in seed form again. Otherwise, it's not harvest time. So now here we are coming into this place. So the fivefold ministry is doing a work now to help all of us, including ourselves, get into this stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. I want you to watch that word, grow up. That's mature. Become adult. So, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up, mature, become adult into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and so forth. So we see then that the purpose is to bring a body into unity, bring the body to maturity, and there's a time that the stature of the fullness of Christ will live and manifest through this body. We're staying together so far. All right, talk to me a little bit once in a while. I'd like to know you out there. All right. Now 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And every man has received, as every man has received the gift, Christ. Even as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So this hospitality is a gift. It's another reflection of Christ. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever, and so on. Now, so here we have the same encouragement that we found over in Romans. If you're called to exhort, then wait on your exhortation. If you're called to minister, wait on your ministry. In other words, what is it? Pour your life into what you found God wants you to do. Pour your life into it. Can you catch that? Because that's the little channel through which your reflection of Christ is manifested among the body of believers. And so here we have even hospitality. If you're going to speak, speak like a God himself. I remember one minister told me something back when many, many, many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. It really, really impressed me. And he said, Brother Lonnie, he says, when I minister, he said, I do not try to bring the people to Christ. I thought, well, that's a strange statement. He says, I try to bring Christ to the people. I thought, that's right, brother. That's right. That's the way to do it. So it's all for this upbuilding of the body. The gift. We found in Romans 12, 6 to 8, it spoke about the gift. In 1 Peter, the gift. In Ephesians 4, 29, the gift. It's all the gift of Christ. And it comes within that certain measure to each person. And they're not to feel boastful if they've got a big measure, nor to feel sad if they've got a little measure. All they do is keep pouring themselves into that channel. Now, because this is rivers of one water, Spirit. If you just imagine now, those of you that are familiar, let's take it in a real simple term of a river or even soil erosion, any way you want to take it. If I have a river that normally flows with so many billion gallons a year, but this year something happens and there's three times those billions now going to flow through that river, what's going to happen? The channel is going to get widened and deepened because there's a greater force coming with that water than there's ever been before. So therefore, the whole channel gets changed, but it's the same water, just more of it. So as I see it, as if we wait on our ministry according to the gift that God has given us, and we keep pouring the water of the Holy Spirit through that ministry of ours, it's going to get deeper and wider. It's got to, because that's the way the natural laws work. And so if you start with a trickle, it doesn't have to mean you stay a trickle. Keep pouring the water of Spirit through it. But don't try to dig it out yourself. Let the water do it. Let the water do it, and it'll find its own channel, find its own course. Let me read you some quotes so that you'll catch some things Brother Branham said, convinced and concerned. Every born-again Christian has the same Spirit in them. The preacher might be gifted, but that's just a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, God doesn't have any little bitty children or great big children. They're all children to him, and your right position is sitting right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with every power. Don't miss what's being said. But now remember, when he ascended on high, see, you're raised with him. You're in that body. You're with Christ now, seated in heavenly places. And if you're the skin on the bottom of his feet, every devil is still underneath you. Where the head is, the body's raised with it. And if we're buried in Christ, then we're raised with him in his resurrection and sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with every fire of hell under us. Amen. Right. No matter how little you are, every devil is under you. So remember my oft-repeated quote. As long as you're walking in the line of duty, anything Satan throws on you, you have the right to throw it right back off again. And he said, what's the line of duty? He says, believe the word and walk in it. So as long as you know you're walking in the word, I'm not trying to make legalists out of you. What I'm trying to do is get you to not continually have something in your life that's outside the word. Don't keep walking there. That'll just get you so condemned that you don't know what power you've got. But when you've slipped and fallen, that's what the blood's for. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're back on the throne, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every devil is under you. I feel this symptom coming on me. I refuse it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want you to notice Brother Branham's honesty and openness or transparency here. And I'm saying this because sometimes we have a tendency to be so easy hurt by some little something that's not said quite right, and we walk away pouting over it for days. Little kids. And yet 40, 50, 60 years old and still doing it. Listen to this. Brother Branham, talking about his own kids, and they're both sitting there in the service. Listen. Says, Becky started on the piano, but she's at that little teenage something, you know, that she wants to give it up now. And she said, well, the teacher said, you've got to start on this popular music. And now, I don't mean, you know, overtures, classic, in order to get to the religious music when she gets a little higher. So Becky says, well, I'll just quit. And she says, he says, kids are a problem. He says, and anyhow, if it has to be a calling of God, it has to be a calling of God to begin with. I believe her sister Sarah back there is going to beat her anyway and never had a lesson. So then the calling of God is better when it's gifted like that. Now, how many daughters sitting in here and hearing Daddy razzing one about a problem because she's quitting your lessons and saying, but I think the other one can outdo her anyway. I think that one's gifted, and I don't think she's gifted at all. My! But to me, it's just being honest. You know what I mean? Yeah, we have to walk softly, I know that, because not everybody can take it. But still, here's a prophet, and that's the way it is. 1963, Moses was born in this world as a gifted boy. He was born to be a prophet, a deliverer. He was born with the equipment born in him. As every man that comes into this world is born with this equipment. Doesn't mean to do the works of Moses, but you're born with the equipment to do what God wants you to do. It's born in you. That's why I emphasize now those other gifts of nine spiritual gifts of Corinthians 12. That's different. They're resident in the body. You're not born with those. But these other gifts, the ministry gifts, the hospitality, giving, leadership, all of these things that we've been reading about, you're born with that. That gift is already in you. As Brother Branham said, he said, I saw my first vision when I was between 18 months and 2 years old. He said, I was born that way. He says, and then he said that gift was already operating and I hadn't even given my life to Christ. I hate to keep using myself as an illustration, but that's close to home for me. So I kept telling you that in my young days, people continually, when I went to work, they'd end up putting me in a position of teaching other people. For Sears, they always had me teaching the salesmanship classes in school, in Sears. When I went into the military, immediately they shifted me over and had me teaching a class. And I always, in my mind, used to think, how come I always end up teaching? I don't claim to be a teacher. And I would go visit in the Full Gospel Businessmen sometimes, and after they got to know me a little bit, they'd say, how about bring us a little teaching tonight, Brother Lonnie? And I'd think, why me? How come you're asking me? Because I had no idea, because I went through all those years, clear on up until I was in my middle 30s, before God finally called me to the ministry. But the gift was there making a way for itself. Now, when we have that gift and it's making a way for herself, I'm going to use a hard word here. Brothers, sisters, don't prostitute that gift and sell it to the world. That's where Elvis Presley got in trouble with his Pentecostal background and sold his gift. Instead of using it for the Lord, he sold it to the world for his everything that he got, whatever, out of the world. Now, I want to say that I believe in leadership, but not in the leadership of men I believe in. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. I believe also that God has set men in the church, men who are gifted by the Spirit, and they will keep the church in order. I believe that. I believe also that the church is ruled over by men that God sends to take charge, but the rule is by the word, so that it is not men really ruling, but the Spirit of God, for the word and the Spirit are one. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their citizenship, behavior, conversation. So we just see a channel that God is opening up here, I hope, encouraging everybody to not just be sitters in a pew, but find a channel through which Christ can express himself. It may or may not be an expression in the church. It may be out there somewhere, but it still, it's got to be expressing Christ. It's got to be glorifying to Christ, not to you. If you leave and everybody's saying, boy, what a great guy you are and how nice you are and what a wonderful this and all you are, you've missed it a little there somewhere. See? Look at Elijah. He asked for that double portion that Elisha, I guess, should be. He said, he's a young fellow, went bald-headed when he was young. And when he was on the road returning home, a bunch of kids ran out and said, bald head, old bald head, why didn't you go up with Elijah? And that angry prophet turned her out there and cursed those little innocent children in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears came out of the woods, killed 42 little innocent children. Is that right? It's Bible. You think that's the nature of the Holy Spirit? No, sir, no, sir. But that prophet was angered, and he had power to do that. He could curse those children if he wanted to. He could take it or leave it. Do you believe that's endued with people who are gifted from God? Sure it is. So it shows that the gift is there and can be used for right or used for wrong, but the gift is there. Gifts and callings are without repentance. So to keep it in the church realm, a preacher can use his gift to make himself a big man, use his gift to make himself big money. The gift, God won't take the gift away. Gifts and callings are without repentance. But is that the nature of the Holy Spirit? No. The human nature was using God's gift. So therefore, that's why everything has to be brought down to a channel. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to skip a whole bunch here. Let me just move to something now. Because I won't be with you for a while yet.
No.
Reminders about this now. 1 Corinthians 1:4. That's the one at the top in italics. I thank my God always on your behalf. Green. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's not given to an individual, that's to the body of believers. Verse 5 there. In everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, so that you come behind in nothing. James 1:17 at the bottom. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we're seeing our picture. Now through the church ages, we know it as the Holy Spirit dispensation. God working through the Holy Spirit in the churches through the ages. But then we had a move, a transition then, moving from Son of God, which is Holy Spirit, because God is Spirit. Moving from Son of God, Holy Spirit dispensation, and at the opening of the seals, 1963, we made a transition then to the revealing of the Son of Man. Now, when Jesus came as the Son of Man, he was the fullness of the Word bodily. Got that? But through the church ages, we didn't ever have the fullness of the Word. I'm not talking about to the Jews and Pentecost. I'm not going to get wrapped up in that. I'm talking about Gentile church ages. And so in the Gentile church ages, they never had the fullness of the word, because we find from the very first age that they had a problem with false doctrines creeping in among them. And so there was a watered down effect of Christ in the church through the ages. But at the end of the age, with the opening of the seven seals, releasing the fullness of Christ, 1963, then we moved to a Son of Man dispensation instead of a Son of God dispensation, which was fullness of word coming in flesh again. So then through the church ages, as God has been building us, There has to be a capstone on this pyramid, which of course you know that we type back to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to leave this in my hand for right now. I've said that so I wouldn't get this other one squealing. 2 Peter, please, if you would. Now, when we read in Ephesians about the fivefold ministry, bringing the people to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the reason I'm keeping this one on, I'm going back there again. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, when Brother Branham preached a sermon called The Stature of a Perfect Man, statue, he called it, of a perfect man, he was pulling it out of Ephesians, the stature of the fullness of Christ, and then typing it back to Peter here with the building blocks, what God is building his church in. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now there's the first building block. First building block, faith. Add to your faith, virtue, and to your virtue, knowledge. And we know that Ephesians 2 says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. So therefore, you can't add faith. It doesn't tell you to add faith. Faith is either a gift or it's not. By grace you have faith. If you can't believe, the grace isn't applied. But if you can believe, that's the grace of God. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to your temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For now, charity, of course, is love, and the scripture says God is love. So we've come up to a place where we're now not a measure of anything, but a fullness now on this, what we call the capstone on the pyramid. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Greek words telling us, it says, you will not be idle and unemployed in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's happened? You've been moved out of the stone quarry and slipped into your place. Therefore, you're employed. You're active. You're doing something in the body of Christ. Whereas until these things are in place, God can't fully use you. So therefore, as we looked at this coming up there, of course, we would start our building down at the bottom here with faith. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, coming on up with a capstone on the top. Now, I want you to quickly look with me at these virtues once again so that you can check your own life. I knocked these out real fast just before church and I didn't get a chance to do them very nicely, so forgive me. So faith. Faith is the key that unlocks Christ to the people. In faith, in God's word is the foundation of Christianity. Faith recognizes only the word, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Dictionary definition, a confidence or trust, belief, which is not based on proof. You follow that? Okay, so analyze number one. Do I have that? Okay, number two then, virtue. Dictionary definition, a power or property of producing a particular effect. And then in Luke 6:19 and 8:46, just to go into that, remember when the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was healed, says, virtue has gone from me. It produced a particular effect. The people should be able to draw virtue from the believer. Strength or comfort or exhortation or something that they're needing, they can draw it from the believer. You've got something to give out. Knowledge. Knowledge of God's word with application. Knowledge that God's word is true. Holy Ghost knowledge says amen to every word of God. Now checking yourself, how far are you up the pyramid? If all the way, wonderful. Temperance. Whoops. Temperance, Bible temperance, Holy Ghost temperance. How to control your tongue? No backbiting. How to control your temper? How to answer in kindness when spoken to in wrath. I misspelled a word there, pardon me, I didn't have time to check my spelling. When riled upon, rile not back. Patience, patience, patience to wait on God to fulfill his word. Patience to wait on God to answer your prayers. Patience with your brothers and sisters. Godliness is God-likeness.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Or to be like Jesus, who says, I do that only that which pleases the Father. Keep measuring yourself now. Next is brotherly kindness. Forgive your brother if he sins against you. Be patient with him, even if he's out of tune. Go anyway. Understand your brother that doesn't believe like you believe, and have faith that God will bring him in. Rather than, he don't see it like I do, I can't fellowship with him anymore. Now we notice that brotherly kindness, when that's in place, we're ready for the capstone to settle down on it. And you can't skip around. God, add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue knowledge. God is building, building, building. You can't say, well, I think I got this one down here, and I think I got that one up there, but I don't have that one in there. No, they got to build, 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 build. And when you finally get up to where you can see brotherly kindness in your attitude, then the capstone's ready to come into your life. And the capstone is love. Now, and which is Christ himself, which is God, which is the Word, which is the fullness of the Spirit. Now, just to drop in a thought, if we look at, let's say, the life of Jesus, the Scripture says of Jesus that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered and then entered into the ministry he was ordained to from the foundation of the world. But he had to be child-trained first, even Jesus. The man had to be brought subject. So he had to get himself formed into a position, and then the quickening power came. That's on the positive side. Let's look over on the other side. If we go over into Revelations chapter 13, we find a beast and an image of the beast. But we find that both of them had to get certain mechanics set up in church and state. The two of them working together before there could come a power into that to bring to pass what was to be brought to pass. So the image is erected first, and then the quickening steps into the image. And so then God is building this stature of a perfect man through faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. That's you. It's the entire church, but it's you. And he has to have everything in place in the image, and then the quickening power comes. Can you follow that?
Keeping you a little bit over, but forgive me because I won't see you for another 2 or 3 weeks here. All right, now let me just read a few more quotes to you. We know that in 1963 was the opening of the seals. And Brother Branham said of that event, he says, and Christ again has settled himself like the cap on the pyramid. Got that? All right. 1 Corinthians, this is a Conduct Order and Doctrine, August 23rd, 1964. 1 Corinthians 13 says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. So all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues and all these other things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication, that then that which is in part is done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. Amen. I go to preaching. Oh, I got to stop on these things. Same questions and answers. That was question 57. This is question 97. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, though I give my body to be burned as a sacrifice, though I understand all the mysteries of the word, though I give all my goods to the poor and all these things and have not charity, I'm still nothing. I have faith that I can move mountains. I'm still nothing. Then he said, that which is in part will be done away with when that which is perfect is come, or when that which is perfect is made known. Now, I've got a question on that. I hope to get to it yet tonight. And about what happened when the seals opened. I think maybe that'll get it right on your questions. Now, notice, he's talking about, the question is, when that which is perfect is come. And he says, now I've got a question on that about what happened with the opening of the seals. So he's now tied the seals together with when that which is perfect is come. He's done it. Preacher didn't do it. Prophet did it. Okay? Now, a little further, this is now question 302. Please explain 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 12. Now that the perfect word is restored to the church, are these verses fulfilled? Well, now that's the question that he said was coming up pertaining to the seals. Now that the perfect word is restored. You staying with me? Now, I think I just went through that, didn't I? And when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Paul said, though I speak with tongue of men and angels, do all these things, but that when that which is perfect is come. Now, is there anything perfect but God? No, sir. Is God the perfect? In the beginning was the, congregation replies, Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is still God. See, all right? And when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away with. Let me move a little bit further now in just a moment. Masterpiece, 1964. This is July 1964 now. I've moved back 1 month. Now, at the harvest time, the seed is back to its original condition and must have all of the word in order to be the seed. It can't have half of the seed. It won't grow. It's got to be the whole seed. It's got to not just manifest, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, I believe in speaking in tongues. That's just part of the seed. But now there's added to that. See, the life, not the gifts, the life of the gifts. See what I mean? We're at the end time, brethren. We're at the end time. So we see then that the scripture said in 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect, which it means of full age, mature. That's what that word perfect means, of full age, mature. So when that which is mature comes. So what were we waiting for? It says, when I was a child, I did this, I did that. I prophesied in part, I spoke in part, I did this in part. But he says, when that which is perfect has come, the part is done away with. But the part is then swallowed up in the whole. We talked about each gift was a refraction in the great diamond showing a measure of the life of Christ. But now the call is for the token, which is the literal life of Christ. So the body is not to just reflect a gift, but to reflect Him. And in Him is every power that was in the gifts. So we haven't lost anything. But what He's calling now is for the in part to be done away with. And He told us what the difference was. He says, often we go into a Pentecostal church and somebody speaks in tongues and they interpret and they say, yea, I say unto thee, seek my face and I'll bless you. He said, that's not from God. He says, the Bible tells you that. He says, you don't need a gift to tell you that. The Bible tells you that. So he says, they're playing with these gifts. Prophecy breaks forth. Yea, I say unto thee, judgment is about to strike the world. The end time is here. You don't need a prophecy to tell you that. The Bible tells you that. See? But when that which is to come forth in the life of Christ, when it comes forth, it'll say, all you people that live south of such and such street and west of such and such street, get out. There's a flood coming through there, or tornadoes going to strike at such and such time tomorrow. Get out. Spot on the button. Can't miss whether it's done or not done. You know whether it's on or not on. You know whether it's right. No vague generalities. It's spot on the button. It's God moving through a life. So what I'm calling for in us is, wait on, if you don't even know what your gift is, wait on God and say, God, what is it? What is it? We've seen the scriptures on all of these things. How would you have me to shine my little portion of the to the body of Christ? Don't let me be barren and unfruitful. As it says, if these things are not in you, you'll be barren and unfruitful. See? Don't let me be idle, unemployed. Cause me to be active in the body of Christ, Lord. And if perchance you're still chiseling on me, if perchance I'm still down in the stone quarry, that's fine. Just let me know, Lord, where I am in my walk with you. Because once he has in place in you faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, he says, you're going to be active, employed, and God's going to be using you.
some function in the body of Christ. Whether in the church or out there somewhere, there'll be a function. You may be a great witnesser out there, and we may never see anything of it except maybe some of the guests that you bring with you. But there's a function. There's a function. And to say once again, that's why I encourage all the young people who are at the age where you're looking for a career, then your prayer should not be, God, how can I make big money? But God, in what career can you best use me? And what knowledge could I have that could best be useful to the body of Christ? For our whole life becomes geared to reflect Him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, kept the people long, praying, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will take the words that are spoken, Lord, and move into each heart, those hungry hearts, Lord. Cause them to seek out, Lord, so that each member can move into their place. For the whole body must be a functioning body that's going to be raptured. And so, Lord, we want to have on a local level, Lord, a body that is each member in their place and functioning. And then, Lord, in whatever position we have in relationship to the bride around the world, God, cause us to supply our part for that. If it's the missionary trips, excuse me, that we take, or if it's books or tapes or whatever, Lord, that we're to help supply to help the bride around the world, God, just cause us to be a very channeled, direct use of the Holy Spirit manifestation, Lord, some manifestation. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have I got you thinking, or have I got the waters muddied? I hope I just got you thinking and caused you to start praying about it, because we all have a function. I've never tried to lead this song before, but it seems appropriate. Number 83, The Original Life. God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation, last set its message, and we know who we are and what we're raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names are seen with Him, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original life. Original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life, the original seed. Our eyes of understanding He has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded and we have responded to our God, whose original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word. Saints will wake and join us for nation in this hour. Gentile days
We are.